Thank you, Jody, and thank you to Genio and the National Dementia Office for the invite to represent Donegal Mental Health Service here today for older persons and those with dementia that we care for every day. As I say, I think I feel a wee bit old when Jody started mentioning about back wards and St. Columbus, and I think that's where I started back. I'll not tell you the year, but it was back many moons ago again in our geriatric wards. And that was dementia care in the 1970s and 80s. And thankfully, looking around the room today, dementia is now in our community. So we have come on an awful lot in the last, even in the last 10 to 15 years, really, for dementia. We still have a long road to go, hence all our innovative projects and services that are actually out there. And I suppose in the 15-minute presentation, and I can see Gwen really be laughing down there. She says, you're not going to do it in 15 minutes. Well, it will be a whistle stop. And the wrong person to ask to do a 15-minute presentation. But can I just say, I suppose, on reflection of the role first, you know, I look at the main kind of concepts underpinning today, and I look at, you know, innovation, collaboration, and integration, integrated care. And I have to say, I have Mags Kernan here, our team coordinator here for Donegal Services, Dr. McBride, who's not with us here today, and they were really innovative back in 2005, 2006, to look at what the needs of the service was, the needs of the person with dementia are, and looking into the future, and trying to develop the role of the advanced nurse practitioner for mental health services in Donegal. And unfortunately, it just didn't happen when we looked for it, but it has happened, and it has led out nationally. And as you can see, there's a lot of new advanced nurse practitioner candidates posts out there. So there's huge development around ANP roles or advanced nurse practitioner roles. When I look at the whole thing around collaboration, to me, the role itself, the success of the role is fully underpinned in successful and effective collaboration. Because, I mean, not alone with the person with dementia, but with other services, carers, staff, voluntary groups. The role covers the role of the whole area of the county of Donegal, and you are constantly collaborating and sharing, educating, role modelling and mentoring families and services. So it is a very vast role. And with all of that, it definitely promotes and supports integrated care. So one will fall into the other. So that's your three concepts for today covered in the roles that covered. So, sorry. Which way am I going here? Oh, yeah. I have to say, you know, a few speakers have kind of looked very much at dementia, and you've covered very much well the whole area of dementia. And but when I, twice, I think two or three times this morning, the word complex has come up. And I know, when, you know, in the early stages and the early, you know, when we're diagnosed, the word complex is difficult to comprehend or to look at and to consider that things, you know, will actually become maybe more complex as illness progresses. But hence, this is where my role actually sits. It's very much looking at, you know, dementia is a progressive condition. And with progression comes, as it was, a lot of other issues. So we look at, you know, our medical comorbidities, our social issues, psychological issues. What's the other one I'm missing there? You know, the actually, you know, the complex healthcare needs. So there's huge issues with the progression. You know, as stated earlier by a few different presenters today, you know, if we're going to meet the needs, the complex needs of the person with dementia and their family and carers, then we, as a range of healthcare professionals and carers in the room, also need to coordinate that care for that to be effective. We also know, and Tony Foley actually brought this up this morning, that especially when it comes to, you know, responsive behaviours, and Tony talks about behavioural and psychological symptoms of dementia, you know, currently, I mean, yes, we have, you know, we do well, but equally, you know, when it comes to responsive behaviours and that behavioural and psychological symptoms that accompany kind of the more progressing, as an illness progresses, it does challenge us. It challenges our families, it challenges the person themselves, it challenges their loved ones, but also the services and the professionals and their carers. So we still have a long way to go. And we also know that, you know, when someone with dementia does present with more complex needs, they don't fit well into what we do traditionally. You know, the current services actually struggle to meet the needs of that person successfully, to keep them safe, to make sure that, you know, all angles and all issues are addressed. So they don't go through the services smoothly or seamlessly. So there, at times we do come across, unfortunately, a lot of those issues. And then, unfortunately, we have to add more complexity to the person with dementia, and that we as individuals are all different. We are all unique. And, you know, and even as carers, we are all different and we're all unique. And carers' abilities differ. The whole sense of reality, you know, the person with advancing dementia, their sense of reality is totally different to that of their family and their loved ones. Hence, conflict arises, but also to us as healthcare professionals and services. Okay, we do have quite, you know, unfortunately over 4,000 with younger onset dementia, but even with dementia itself, we are looking at an ageing population, increased frailty, which was spoke about there, as illness progresses. So there's just a few, 2.5 more chronic conditions. So again, medical comorbidities. And I think even as a team, it's amazing whenever somebody, a new referral comes into somebody who has responsive behaviours and you look at the medical history, you're looking at 5, 6, 7, 8 other issues. That also leads then to multiple medical, you know, medications and polypharmacy, drug-drug interactions, things we have to be alert to and be aware of. Three times more likely to be hospitalised. And again, delirium, a huge issue. We're taking people into our acute hospitals, strange environments, carers who don't have the time maybe to do the person-centred care and to sit and explain procedures and everything else. So again, you know, strange environments, maybe moving from bed to bed. They come in at night and then they move to somewhere different the next day. Where's the toilet? Where's all of that? So again, very confusing situations. The outcome, a lot of the time, is not good for the person with dementia or their families. Okay. And I suppose earlier today, there was quite a few, and I think even Helen herself talked about the number of healthcare professionals required to meet the needs of the person with dementia and their families. And, you know, within research and within, you know, they talk about a web of care. And I saw a very good slide one day and it was just so confusing for me as an advanced nurse practitioner and a professional, not alone to the family themselves, starting off with, say, your GP, your public health nurse, your OTs, your social workers, you know, your daycare, respite services, speech and language. It's endless. But the reality is, from diagnosis to end-stage dementia, all those services are required. So hence the need for collaboration and integrated care. When we talked earlier about, you know, behavioural and psychological symptoms of dementia, this is a huge part of my role and where the role actually came from, the innovation behind it. Currently, I suppose we don't actually, I suppose within nursing anyway, we try and move away from using, you know, this BPSD, behavioural and psychological symptoms of dementia. There was various terms used over the years, such as challenging behaviour, behaviour that challenges or whatever. But, you know, I suppose with the help of the National Dementia Office and National Dementia Programmes and then our CNMEs and nationally, locally and nationally, we've moved away from using those terminologies. And we now very much look at behaviours as responsive behaviours. I have to say, I do like the definition and the term responsive behaviours, because I think for years, we as carers and healthcare professionals got off with an awful lot. So no matter what happened or what behaviour or what symptom or what agitation or if somebody had, you know, it was the person with dementia's fault. It was the dementia was blamed for everything. Thank God we have moved on, folks, and we now are accountable. And hence why we're all here today. We are accountable for our role and our approach and what we do and how we actually respond to somebody. The term response behaviours, I suppose it stemmed from Ontario in 2011, and it's very much been used out there locally and nationally and internationally now. It reflects a response by the person with dementia to something frightening or scary or confusing within their immediate environment. Now, I suppose for me, looking at taking the positive out of that, it removes the trigger, the reason for that behaviour or the reason for that agitation or resistance outside of the person, and makes us look at the environment. And it also creates hope that we as carers and professionals can actually change the environment. We can educate our staff and our carers. We can look at the actual physical environment. You know, there's so much we can do. So to me, the definition of responsive behaviours, which is a huge part of the role as an ANP in dementia care, really creates hope that using psychosocial interventions or changing to the environment or education, that we can make big changes to the quality of life for the person with dementia. Research also suggests that, you know, that untreated behaviours, that agitation, maybe sleep problems, can add, unfortunately, to the disease process and speed things up. And we do hear periods of rapid progression when things aren't going good. Delirium, back-to-back infections or whatever. I suppose when we look at NICE guidelines, and I know the real most recent ones, 2016, they look at complex behaviours in advancing dementia. And they list things like agitation, restlessness, and everything else. And I do think we as healthcare professionals cope with quite a lot very well. Aggression, I think, is a huge area. And I think the most aggression we actually see is verbal. And we can cope with that quite well, but unfortunately, when it becomes physical, that's when huge, you know, we need help here. Resistance to care, I do think, is the next biggest problem we have. And I do think, you know, carers struggle because we as carers want to fix, want to help, want to keep everybody sitting pretty, but the illness doesn't allow us, and we struggle with that. So resistance to care, but say that is just a list, but they do challenge us as carers and professionals and challenge our services and our environments. And again, one of the main reasons why somebody is referred to a specialist service, such as mental health services or psychiatry of old age. So, looking at the role of the ANP, okay, the Advanced Nurse Practitioner, and I only have a few minutes left. The bottom one there is the real purpose of the role is to enhance the provision of care for people with dementia in Donegal, looking at the, you know, more complex needs, complex healthcare issues, maybe end-of-life decision-making or whatever. These slides are available, so you can have a look at those. But say the key areas of an advanced nurse practitioner is clinical education and research and audit. The clinical area, folks, is very much going out there, doing the assessments, either working, you know, as an autonomous practitioner, or sometimes I'll actually co-work with a member of the team, depending on the complexity. Education then, I mean, I would do quite a bit of education, both locally and nationally. Again, working with, in conjunction with our CNMEs and our national programmes, and we're hoping to lead out now on the primary care pathway as well within Donegal, and then the research and audit. And I have to say, even with the National Dementia Office, you know, as an ANP, you do become that critical stakeholder, and it's great to represent Donegal as that critical stakeholder for dementia care and bring the needs of Donegal and the person and the people with dementia and their families to the national table. Okay, the referral criteria is going to be there and you can have a look at that. But I mean, basically, it's anybody, any age with a dementia. So irrespective of age, they have to have a diagnosis of dementia, but they are presenting with more complex needs. There's existing teams out there that can manage a lot of issues around dementia very well. But it's the complexities that get up, and that's whenever I would come in then and either work or co-work that situation and hope to come out with a fair or a good outcome for the family and the patient. You can have a look at this. It's just a referral pathway. And I suppose this, I suppose, is a huge area. I suppose looking at, you know, the whole thing of collaboration. We need to move forward from today and look at all the good projects that's going on, but work together both locally and nationally. Feedback to the National Dementia Office. Look at the strategy. Be aware of the National Dementia Strategy and the care strategy. What can we do to enhance care moving forward? There's a lot of excellent knowledge out there, but we need to share that and use it. It's good practice. You know, there is a lot of education available. And I'm looking at a table full here now of our new Dementia Champions from Donegal. You know, there is national programs, there's Dementia Champion programs. We don't all have to have a master's or a doctorate in dementia, but we need to have a very good understanding of the condition and how best to respond to that person or that family's needs. And lastly, you know, learn from what works. And even in your own care facilities, in your own care circle, if something good works, share it. Okay, and I think we need to become competent and competent as carers of all grades to feel that you can actually cross the bridge to that person with dementia, enter their sense of reality, minimize their distress, and hopefully enhance their overall quality of life. Thank you.